It's true every day, but it's especially true today that mum's the word. And that's the word we want to focus on today. We're celebrating, we're honoring our mothers. Might not surprise you to know that the text will be taken from Proverbs chapter 31, the passage that we know as the worthy woman. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 31, kind of surveying those verses. It's a lengthy passage. We won't read every verse, but we'll be taking kind of a survey of the passage. Now, when I teach from this passage, I always want to emphasize to our women that this is an ideal picture of God's ideal woman. Not a single woman is going to live up to all of these qualities in a perfect way. We just want you to know that. I remember an old story about two cows that were out grazing in a field, and the field was right beside a highway, and there was a milk truck that went by. The milk truck had on its side an advertisement for the milk that was being sold. And the advertisement said, "Grade A, pasteurized, homogenized, purified, certified, reduced fat, vitamin enriched." One cow looked at the other one and said, "It kind of makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it?" Well, I want you to know, women, that the purpose of this passage is not to make you feel inadequate. God doesn't want you to read this and walk away saying, "Man, I'm a pretty lousy wife, and I'm a pretty lousy mother, and I'm a pretty lousy woman because I don't live up to all this." That's not the point. The point is, this is an ideal for you to shoot for. It's better to aim at the ideal and miss than it is aim at mediocrity and hit, right? And as Christians, we all know that we're trying to follow the example of Jesus, and we all know that we're never going to get there perfectly. So what we do is keep trying and then rely on God's grace where we fall short. And I would encourage you to maybe pick out one of these qualities that we'll mention today. One that you feel like could use some shoring up in your life, and go to work on that one quality. Let me say also, before we get into this passage, that this passage applies to everyone, not just women. If you're a girl and you haven't grown into a woman yet, make this woman your role model. I would encourage our girls, don't choose as a role model some movie star or music star or internet star. Most of these women are rich and famous and beautiful and glamorous and miserable. And I would encourage you to pick a godly example from the Bible. Look at these qualities that we'll talk about today and say, "You know what? That is what I'm aiming for in my life." Let me also say to the young men out there who happen to be single, look for a woman who is trying to live up to this passage and choose her as your dating partner and as your eventual spouse. Kevin Johnston is a teacher at Centerville Intermediate School, a fifth grade teacher, and he tells the students every year, he says, "Now pretty soon y'all are going to be interested in dating. And when you start dating, pick a person who is better than you and date them." Kevin also is a pulpit minister out at Brushy. And around Valentine's Day, he presents a message aimed directly at young people, telling them how to find their sweetheart. And he tells his kids at church, "Find a Christian who is a better Christian than you and date them. And make them your eventual marriage partner. And if you do that, you will have a happy life." So this passage applies not to just women, but to everybody. Let's think about mom is the word this morning. And let's notice a few qualities of this ideal worthy woman. And we'll touch on them just briefly. And I'll mention several. Number one, think about the worthy woman's great worth. Verse 10. "A wife of noble character, a worthy woman," some versions say, "who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Gentlemen, if you have a worthy woman, for a mother, if you have a worthy woman for a wife, then you have a treasure. If you have a worthy woman who loves you, you are richer than Bill Gates. And if you have a worthy woman in your life, then you better be sure to reward her with the paycheck of praise. I'll never forget several years ago standing beside a casket at the funeral home. I stood beside a husband whose wife had suddenly and unexpectedly died, a beautiful Christian woman. And as he stood there, what he said to me on more than one occasion, he said it several times, he said, "You know, I never really understood what she meant to me until now." And he said, "If I could just have 5 minutes with her so that I could tell her what I never told her, and that is how valuable she was to me." Well, men, how can we keep from standing in his place? Well, I can tell you one way, and this is what I'd suggest. I'd like for you to make a list of 31 things that you love, admire, and appreciate about your mother, if you still have her, and about your spouse. And then find a way to share each day one of those things with your worthy woman. Just find a way to do it. A man wrote in Reader's Digest about his wife needing surgery. She had to be in the hospital for several days, and he and the children were all there in the house without her for a while. He heard his daughter talking to a friend on the telephone. And the daughter was saying, "Yeah, me and Dad and my brothers and my sisters, we're all home alone." And that's what it feels like when Mom's not there, doesn't it? Because Mom is the heart of the home. And folks, we need to be telling her how much we appreciate her playing that role, her great worth. Number two, her gentleman's well-being. Her gentleman's well-being, if you're in the text, look at verse 11 and verse 12. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. God made woman to complete her husband, not compete with him. And when I say complete him, I don't mean finish him off. Okay? No, I mean, look at his life, and where he is weak, you be strong, and where he has needs, you try to meet those and fulfill those. He, of course, is to do the same thing for you, and that's what a worthy woman does. She completes her husband. She makes her husband a better man. A wife is to her husband what wind is to a flame. She can fan him up or she can blow him out. And a worthy woman says, "I'm going to fan up my husband. I'm going to turn him into a better man." She keeps her husband well spiritually and emotionally as much as she can. She does him good, the text says. She does him good because she is trustworthy. He can trust her. He can trust her to be faithful to her marriage vows. He can trust her to make wise decisions financially and not make foolish expenditures that gets the family into financial trouble. I found in my years of ministry that men tend to give in to sexual temptation and women tend to give in to materialism. That's a broad statement, but I found that that tends to be true. Theirs was a perfect marriage except for one feminine flaw. He was quick on the deposit, but she was quicker on the draw. And that's gotten many a family into trouble, which leads to stress, which leads to arguments over finances, which in some cases leads to a family breaking apart. But the worthy woman can be trusted with her marriage vows, mothering the children, and, of course, handling finances. Keep your gentleman well, worthy woman. A wife was going on and on and on about this movie star and how rich and how famous and how handsome and how talented he was. And her husband said, yeah, but if you take away his money and his talent and his good looks, then what do you got? And she said, you. Well, we need to remember that our husband, you need to build him up into that movie star and let him know what you appreciate about him too. Number three, consider the worthy woman's good works. Her good works. Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girl. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. The worthy woman directs her energy and strength toward caring for her household. The Apostle Paul says that a Christian woman should be a keeper at home. Now, the world admires a woman who is a home wrecker. Some religious groups demand that a woman be a home stayer. She can't work outside the home. But Paul says that a Christian woman ought to be a home maker or a home keeper. She may need to work outside the home. Considering the cost of living these days and the price of things like health care, she might very well have to work outside the home. And if so, God bless her in that work. But she also realizes, the worthy woman does, that God has equipped her especially for domestic work. And if she works outside the home, she just makes sure that that work does not take away from her family, but it actually enhances it and builds it up. Her good works. Next, consider her gentle words. Her gentle words, verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Dwight Eisenhower tells of a time when he became angry as a child. And he started punching a tree with his fist, and he punched them until his knuckles were just bloody and bruised and broken. His mom brought him in the house and she gently dealt with those wounds. And as she dealt with those wounds, she taught him a lesson on self-control. Here's what Eisenhower would say about that later. He said, of all peace treaties I have ever experienced, none compare with the one my mother negotiated with me that day. Another famous American, Andrew Jackson, said that I have made my mother's words the law of my life. If you have a worthy woman for a mother, will you remember her words? Will you remember the instruction that she gave you? And you will you make those the laws of your life? Her gentle words. Next, consider the worthy woman's guarded watch. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. The worthy woman is observant. She knows what is going on in her household. She knows the needs of her husband and she tries to meet those needs. She knows the needs of her children, and she tries to meet those needs. When children get into big trouble, a lot of times it will turn out that the parents did not know what they were up to. We look at these teenagers who end up being school shooters, and we look into their background. And many times their parents did not know what was in their room. They didn't know what the child had been posting on social media. They didn't know where the children were going and who their friends were and what they were up to. They didn't know. The worthy woman looks over her household and knows what's going on. She knows what her children are looking at on the internet. We call the internet the information superhighway, and I'm telling you, our kids are roadkill. And we need to be watching over and paying attention to what they are doing online. One of the amazing things about this shutdown and school being out is how desperately schools are trying to contact their students and be sure that they are okay. In many cases, schools are in a panic when they can't locate one of their students because they're worried about those kids who are at home with their parents. Is it not the last step on the way down for a society when we think it is a scary situation for a child to be at home with mom and dad? Well, that's where we are. The worthy woman says, you know what? I'm going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I'm going to look over the affairs of my household, and I'm going to know what my husband needs, and I'm going to know what my children need, and I'm going to be there for them. Her guarded watch. And then finally, and most importantly, her godly worship. Verse 30 of Proverbs 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A worthy woman fears the Lord. She has a healthy respect for God. She is a reverence for God. She stands in awe of God. And yes, she fears disappointing him. She doesn't want to do it. She fears what life would be like without God right there with her, and she doesn't want to experience it, and she's not going to let herself experience it because she's not walking away from him. She fears the Lord. The wise man, the very next book over, Solomon, He was very wise, but man, he tried and failed at a lot of things. He tried every pleasure the life has to offer, and he came to a conclusion. The very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And we would add, of course, that it is the whole duty of woman. If you just fear the Lord and keep his commandments, all of these other qualities that we've talked about will fall into place in your life. They'll make you all of these things and more, the commandments of God, just following them. G. Campbell Morgan was a preacher of a generation ago. He had four sons, and they were all preachers and all very successful preachers. Boys being competitive like they are, sometimes people would ask one of these four sons, which one of the Morgans is the best preacher? And every time, without exception, they would answer, Mom. Mom's the best preacher. She does it with faithful instruction. She does it by watching over the family. And she does it most of all by the godly example that she sets because she fears the Lord. Moms, we love you, we thank you, we honor you, we appreciate the work that you do, and we challenge you to continue on in that work because you have never been needed in a society more. You know that many, many church buildings are closed these days, but I'll tell you what's not closed. The invitation of Christ. It's always open. We have baptized several people during this shutdown, and if you are interested in becoming a baptized believer in Christ, and you should be interested in it if you're not, if you'll contact this congregation, we will make sure that you are immersed into Christ, and we would love to help you in that regard. Just contact the church and let us know that is your desire, and we can help you. Even in these strange times, we can help you right now if you want to come to Jesus. As we close, I'll ask you to pray with me and bow your head if you would wherever you are, and let's close in prayer. Father, Mom is the word. It's the word on our hearts today. Where would we be without godly mothers? And Father, we may have dropout dads and failing fathers, and that's an issue for another day, but thank you for mothers who stand in the gap and who do so much for us as individuals and us as a society. Bless them. Father, we pray if anyone is out there hearing these words and they're apart from you, we pray that they'll be touched and convicted, their heart pricked, that they will decide that they are going to come to Jesus. They're going to do it soon. They're going to do it now, and they will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.